Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. I'm Guy. That's John. We are on YouTube and on podcast. We are brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Great to have Tito's sponsoring the show. John is grinning like he's got a Tito's toast.
I want to cheers my friends at Tito's to Cox Communications, who has my internet.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this morning because before noon, I was on hold for almost a combined 2 hours. I think it turned out to be like 151. And it hit me that like, I can't wait. You know, a big story right now is Peacock. How could you put it on Peacock? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? NBC is their number one partner. They have the number one television show. They're doing them solid. Like, this is the way business works. Everything's going to be on streaming. Like, if you're complaining and don't see the way this is headed, like, I don't think you quite understand how this works. Now, if you just want to complain, I get it. But it's pretty clear why they're putting it on Peacock. Right? A playoff game. Like, the games are eventually going to be on Peacock in 10 years. But it really hit me. Like, I'm still dependent on the cable company, even though I don't have a cable box, for their internet, where YouTube TV, like, it's just, it can't be any more seamless. A gripe here or there, but overall, the experience is just fucking remarkable.
Yeah.
All my streaming services, there's just, why can't the streaming services, and maybe it's too big of a pain in the ass, maybe, get into the internet business?
Here you go, Starlink, the satellite, you know, put the big satellite outside your house.
My brother has it. It's incredible.
Is it? Maybe. What are his speeds like? Any idea?
Elite everywhere.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, I'm with you on YouTube TV, but I am at the mercy of my AT&T. Now, it's fiber, so it's fast, but I am at the mercy of it, right? I'm always, like, I feel like my YouTube TV, John, when I'm watching a game, always just loses, like, a half a second. You know, like, I can always fast forward it, which is weird. Like, I can always fast forward it like 3 seconds, you know, which is weird, which means I'm falling behind. Don't love that. But that's going to be hard to avoid.
But see, that's in your head. I'm sure that happens to me too. I don't notice.
No, you don't notice it. I only notice it when I've got two screens side by side on the same thing, right? Yeah. But no, that's not a big deal. You said nitpick. We're talking nitpicks. It's been excellent. The future is here, and we're in the midst of it, and it just takes – it's a little bumpy, you know, but –
yeah, but Peacock, I do think that is something that they got a pretty good stranglehold on for a while. You know, it's like radio obviously is in major trouble / dead in 90% of markets, right? The newspaper business, like, holy shit, good luck. That's one that I don't go, well, the main cable provider is just going to lose internet in the next decade. Like, I wouldn't bet on that. You know,
as long as physical lines are better than non-physical lines, right? They have the physical, there's trenches dug and their lines are in them.
Yeah.
So, like, in my neighborhood, if you want fiber, you can get AT&T fiber. You can also get Sonic fiber, two different companies. Sonic uses AT&T's lines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, the Starlink thing, which even if he does continue to have incredible breakthroughs, like, he is battling up against a PR campaign. The government took his funding. Even he said, like, listen, you want to yank the funding on Starlink because I don't kiss your guy's ass, fine, but you can't use that funding to someone else when my product is 700 times better. But they want to kind of just, you know, they're trying to limit his Starlink's elite. Like, I mean, fucking gave it to Ukraine. I mean, what he's doing worldwide. But he fights an uphill battle on that, so that's one thing. And he's so much smarter than everyone else he's up against in business. They're like, oh, this is going to be – that's not a solution anytime soon.
I saw it at Best Buy today. They had like a podium.
He just lost a lot of money in a subsidy because they don't like him.
John, I had a Tito's toast, obviously, to Jim Harbaugh for winning his national championship, but also for Jim Harbaugh for bringing back a certain type of football, which feels like it would die if it wasn't for Jim Harbaugh. Brought it to Stanford, brought it to the Niners. Brought it to Michigan. Even Saban has given up on this type of football.
Quit it. Quit it for a minute in Michigan.
Quit it. With, tried to go Rich Rod for a second, then was like, quit it. I'll bring it back, and brought it back. So a Tito's toast to Jim Harbaugh for I'm not sure I'd want to watch every football game look like a Harbaugh game, but Monday night national title game, they hit a couple throws. I wouldn't have minded if he had done 32 straight runs like he did to Penn State earlier this year to win the championship. Also a Tito's toast, John, to RG3, who biggest stories this week, like you just look up, Roberts in the middle of it, McAfee and ESPN beefing. Roberts got an Instagram post. Last night, I thought this was interesting. Reminded me of when A-Rod tried to sign with did he try to sign with the Red Sox during the World Series or actually sign with the Yankees during the World Series? Whichever it was, last night, ESPN has its college football coverage, and Roberts not on the coverage. At the same time as ESPN is leading up to the national championship game, Robert is on IG Live with Kyle K, the high school football recruit.
I am rooting for that guy to be a great player, so you play-by-play guys just refuse to say his name.
Got it. No, you got to roll with it. But I thought that was interesting that Robert was on at the same time as ESPN. That wasn't nothing, John. That wasn't nothing.
I will give him this. I saw the clip. That was hilarious. That was funny. I can't stand Robert Griffin III, and that was funny. That was funny. The dad looked a little uncomfortable. The kid was having the time of his life. The kid's going to West Virginia, right, on a recruiting visit? Like, he's a Division I player. Visit.
Yeah, that's why McAfee was fired up about it. Tito's handmade vodka. It's fantastic. Whether you're going to somebody's house, hosting people at yours, bellying up to the bar, order a Tito's by itself or Tito's in whatever. Distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof. Crafted to be savored responsibly. I like a little ginger beer. Tito's, that's a good drink. Yes.
Got a theory on McAfee. I think one reason the media is so mad, and this gets back to like when you work with someone that doesn't have to follow the rules, there's a jealousy of you, of them. Like, and most people in most offices, like the star employer or whatever, kind of can do what he wants, and it pisses everyone off. But in most offices, you kind of keep quiet. It's not a public job. You tell your other office mates, you're all kind of talking shit about that person, even though that person is just more important than you, like if the company replaced. The media tends to be kind of angry, at least unhinged on social media. My theory why they're so mad over the Rodgers McAfee thing is like he doesn't have to follow any of the rules, and they always fall in line, and they're jealous. The Pat can do whatever the fuck he wants, and he's taking talk shit about bosses, which half of them, if you just the likelihood, don't always see eye to eye. They're like, God, they would die to do that. It's just being a human being. You are jealous of some. You're under the same umbrella. He can do that, and you definitely cannot. Like, even RG3 pushed the limits, but I've seen a couple headlines like, RG3 got to talk to about this. And remember, he did big Penix energy. Like, he pushed the line.
Yeah.
Like, Robert, you're pretty replaceable, you know? And I think there is a huge anger in that group, the ESPN employees, and just the undercurrent of it all, and former ESPN employees.
The ESPN part of it, that seems like there's a direct correlation to, you know, Pat got paid right after or right around the time a bunch of people got laid off. You know, and I've seen people say, well, oh, you could all the talent. And I'm sure there were a lot of talented people. But I mean, it's not some accident why Pat. I was having a debate with my buddy yesterday. We're texting about it because he said McAfee is the biggest ESPN personality now. Most recognizable, biggest star. I said, I think it's still Stephen A. I don't know if you have a take on that.
Probably depends who you ask. I mean, I think they are close.
Well, I watch more McAfee than Stephen A, but my default would be Stephen A, but maybe it's McAfee. I don't know.
I don't consume Stephen A, and I don't necessarily watch McAfee's show, but I definitely watch his clips of interviews, and I don't do any of that with Stephen A. So like for me, Pat McAfee is more, it's hard. Like you and I know who they both are.
I'm not asking for you though, right? I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, I would say Pat feels more relevant in the people that I roll with.
Right.
It's like a huge part of Strauss, or Ethan wrote this. A big part of, you know, because like the audience is like first takes doing 800,000 people and then it drops off in half. Well, the demographics of the people that watch Pat and the people that watch First Take are a completely different human being. Like, I mean, so it's not an apples to apples thing. And Pat would argue that like, this is not just a television show. The numbers we do on social media, live viewers is relevant. Right. So I not that I care that much about the metrics of the argument there, but to in my life, and the I know countless people that like listen and watch Pat that have him on in the background.
Well, that's what I do. And it's not because I know I read what Ethan wrote too. It's not because Pat in and of himself is some like, he's not asking like carefully crafted questions, but he has a really unique skill, which is people are comfortable talking to him. I was watching, I don't know if you saw any of the Dan Lanning on the pregame for the national championship game, but even like, you know, Dan actually had some good things to say, but he's not reserved. He was comfortable. But the way McAfee hit him with the questions, like, oh, I love what you did right there. You know, I was good with you going for it on fourth down. Just, he has a way. He is just good with people. And that's
he's one of them, you know, at his core. I think that's where they see him as one of them. And I think Stephen A has breached that gap where a lot of like a writer, for example, is not one of us. They're an outsider slash an enemy. You know, a lot of times the media, those people are enemy is the wrong word, but I think there's a differentiating factor that he has.
But I would say even the best writers, like Marcus Thompson, like they still know, writer or not, media member or not, just good at making people feel at ease, right? And McAfee's just excellent at it.
But I would say the difference of Marcus or definitely Stephen A, Pat's not critical of anybody. You know, like Stephen A's crushing people left and right. Pat doesn't take opinions. Like the brilliant part of his operation, he has Aaron Rodgers, says everything. Pat's not saying anything.
Yeah.
It's actually, and again, I'm not trying to act like I'm jealous or whatever, but like I couldn't have a profession if I didn't never said anything. Like his entire operation is predicated on the guests, no opinion.
On the relationships.
But he does not have to give an opinion on anything. Because I think if you ask every player, they wouldn't have anything negative about anything he said about them.
Right.
Which is
but there are other things you can be popular for. And his is that he's fun. It's as simple as that. He's fun to be around.
Well, exactly. But he has a 3-hour show where he never has, but he talks about sports where he never has to say anything about
it. No, it's just fun. Just hanging out. It's fun. Like you don't leave when you're hanging out with a buddy who's like fun. You don't go after the night. Like he didn't have any strong takes about anything. He didn't even have a pick on the game.
I heard Big Cat say this one time. He's like, you know, the craziest part about our podcast is we're constantly ripping on people, but it never sticks to us. He's like, for whatever reason, I was like, I got to talk to this guy. I know what but he's like, Mike, he doesn't even care. He just thinks I'm joking around, fucking around. You know, Pat doesn't even like Big Cat's more liable to say something
for sure.
Pat won't say anything. It's incredible.
I think half of the stuff that people get offended by on the internet, maybe now it's once upon a time, it was this. I don't know this anymore. It's gotten more negative. But once upon a time, half the stuff that was being like the shit talking was actually just things that people acting like they know each other when they don't, right? Fans acting like they know a player. The player reads the tweet, you're being mean to me. But fans just talking shit or people on the internet just talking trash the way they would talk trash to a friend. When it comes from Big Cat or PFT, it feels like it's coming. Like those people take it as if they read the best into it, not the worst into it. Most times you hear somebody make a joke about you, you assume the worst, that it's not just in fun, that they're not trying to act like your friend, right? Which is, again, the same deal. Like, if your thing is fun, McAfee, Big Cat's the same. Like, he's fun. Like, I don't know a single person, like Barstool, don't like Barstool, who doesn't think Big Cat is good, like, doesn't like Big Cat, right?
Yeah.
He's fun.
For sure. It.
Yeah. And smart, but.
And I think this is where Barstool has separated from the pack, and obviously Pat. This is entertainment. Like, this isn't, we're not breaking news here. There's no journalism. We're just fucking around.
Yeah.
And I do, like, to me, Barstool is more important for my entertainment value on the internet, whether it comes to Twitter or Instagram. Instagram a little less, but specifically Twitter. Like, I don't need everything to be super serious all the time, you know? And I think, you know, and the majority of people I follow would be quote unquote in the sports covering business or just media in general. And it's like, they can take things really serious. It's like, can we just fucking relax? Like, I mean, today is a good example when he has Rodgers on. It's very predictable, the reaction of everyone that you, and again, it could even be fake. I don't even know if half these people believe half the thing they're tweeting. Where I was at the gym and I looked up and it's on mute. And you, Rodgers, but they have the CC going, so I can read, but it's going what he's talking about. It's hard to kind of keep up, but you're seeing keywords and Jimmy Kimmel, and you see an Epstein and a COVID, and you kind of know what he's going around. And Pat is in the back, just like kind of dying laughing. And I go, you know what? I refuse to look at my phone right now and see the reaction, because they're having a good time. And of course, I mean, it's just so predictable. And that's where I think Pat and I think Barstool thrives at this, is like they get involved in this shit and they just keep laughing. And everyone else is so mad. It's like, guys, fucking relax. And I do think it gets back to, there's an underlying currency of jealousy of, wait, they don't follow the rules and they print cash. That really pisses off a lot of people in the business.
And of course, those two things
I do what's right.
Those two things are connected, right?
Well, fuck yeah.
They don't follow the rules because they print cash.
But they also don't follow the rules is what leads them to the cash. They don't want to do what you're doing. So they're your rules and your industry's rules. They don't view themselves in your industry. It's why when Pat has gone back and forth, it's like, yeah, maybe he made a little more money to go to ESPN. He does not need these people. He was printing money. Maybe they added some infrastructure and added some cash to him. But like, money was not the issue with his operation. He had the big ass office before ESPN. You know, so when he's talking shit, it's like, I don't need you. So when Mike Vrabel gets fired, I'm not kissing your ass, Rand Carthen. I don't give a fuck. I'm already rich. I don't agree with what's going on. Where most of us, I've been there before, kind of pretend, you're like, oh, I kind of got to do this. We hate it. I actually have nothing but respect for when people have it. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm not doing this. I'm not pretending. I'm not playing politics because I do not have to. And I think Pat has really done that the last couple of weeks and just keep talking shit. Like, remember, you guys called me. You know, you called me. This is good. And he's even said, this is lucrative for me and my crew here. You've added value here, but you called me. That's always been the Rogan thing when people freak out at Spotify. Like, you guys know you begged him to sign this deal.
Pat also clearly thinks he's got numbers, like if it came down to a battle. Because I do think the one thing ESPN does give him is access, right? He gets to do his show from the College Game Day set. He gets to do his show from the national championship game. He clearly likes that. Right, you can't do that unless ESPN lets you do it, or whoever the rights holder is for that particular game.
Oh, be inside. You're saying like be inside NRG Stadium.
Yeah, and like there's an infrastructure. Now he could pay for it, but ESPN does have just an amount of infrastructure that nobody else.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not acting like he thinks he doesn't benefit from their stuff.
When you hear the guys he's naming, like he thinks he's got numbers. Like if there's a power struggle, the guys that like him are going to beat the guys that don't like him. Right, I think that's part of it. It's like he thinks in the end he's going to still be around, because he even said, like, I'm not trying to quit. I'm not quitting here. He thinks he's going to win the bet. He's like, he's trying to clean it up. He's trying to make it in his image.
But I also think, you know, when you're at his spot, and this is Portnoy has this, Rogan has this, Harbaugh had this, I think Vrabel believes he has this. There's an unquantifiable, like for all the things we can quantify, there's an unquantifiable thing I bring to the table that I know no matter what, I'm going to win in whatever I'm doing. And for most of these guys, it's about printing money. For a guy like Vrabel or Harbaugh, like, I'm going to win football games. So, like, there's a certain line. And some of us get petty and, you know, Harbaugh and Portnoy more than others. But it seems like actually all those guys kind of fall under the same umbrella, which is why I like them all. I mean, I gravitate toward that. Like, I really appreciate that. Maybe I'm – I don't know. Something about it that really resonates.
I think it resonates with everybody. I think it resonates.
But not the media really hates it, at least.
Well, no, but I think it resonates with them. That's what you would want, because you might have a boss. Anybody. If you don't like it, it's probably because you have a boss that keeps you from being able to do it, or you can't do it. But I think it's a very core, I only want to do what I want to do. I mean, it is in every human's core, going back to when they're 2 years old. I only want to do what I want to do. Not everybody can say it or do it.
Yeah.
But it's to me, it's in everybody's core. Right. It's
not. I
only want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what you want me to do. I don't want to be cool. I saw Jason Williams, J. Will, White Chocolate J. Will.
Yeah.
What's the podcast called? Flagrant. You know, the comedian.
No.
The YouTube show. And he was talking about how he was like, what would you do if you weren't an NBA player? And J. Will's like, you know, probably would have been like a FedEx or UPS driver. because I just want them to be like, here's your packages. Go ahead and get out of here. I can't sit around with a boss telling me what to do all day. I was like, that's a very insightful, self-reflective comment. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, he played like it.
And he played, that's right. He played like he didn't need it.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan said, don't get another, you get three positive weed tests before you get kicked out of school. Billy's like, you only get two here. I'm kicking you. I'm not waiting until the third. You're getting kicked out after the second. He got two, he got kicked out.
Isn't it kind of crazy that the world we grew up in, weed tests were suspensions and kicked out of colleges? And I mean, Chris Webber got traded out of Washington for smoking a joint. Like, think how, honestly, it still happens. You see, so-and-so got pulled over in Texas, like one of the Cowboys, and he had a joint. You're like, something's not.
Is that a real story? That just happened?
No. I'm just saying, like, it's definitely happened over the last year. A guy got in trouble. Yeah. Maybe it was a college guy, like in the SEC, like one of Ole Miss's players or Alabama's player. The Alabama's player did get in trouble for knowingly giving STD to a girl. You see that one? That was like within the last month or two.
Did one not of
the
offensive see that linemen. Story.
Yeah. Which I actually think is pretty good. Probably hard to prove. I think it's hard to prove because you'd be like, how do I, you know,
I guess the way runner. You'd have to,
you'd need a lot of like warrants and stuff. Like,
yeah, like we diseases. Need, if he'd gone to a clinic and gotten a test and tested positive, then you could prove that he knew, right?
Yeah. And then you could prove they had like sex the next day. Like it would be a lot of like taking detective work on this one.
Yeah, I'll go behind the scenes.
On but that yeah, it happened to want to save his. I think it's like the right tackle.
Wow. Portal? What if that comes up on the pluses and minuses? On the draft, like when you're scouting a guy. Where are you? Did the national championship game change Michael Penix's draft stock in your mind?
I mean, it wasn't a good night for him. Wasn't a good night at all. He looked terrible. He looked shook early. I think it would. If you were really high on him, you watch that game, it would just bring up concerns. I mean, it's always the lasting memory. The other thing is, like, that's what the NFL kind of looks like, right? Getting peppered.
Right.
Contested throws. I'm not acting like he goes from a top.
Like, confusing you.
Missing kind of throws. Like, he did miss. Because I saw someone a week ago say, you know, everyone's acting like they're 80-20 balls. I just think he's kind of throwing it up and he knows the guys are great. Not that he's like super accurate. Not that he's inaccurate, but I think he gets credit like he's Peyton fucking Manning out there, like putting it on a dime. I was like, the more I watched him yesterday, I was like, I just think he's heaving it. You know, I knew multiple people that, well, I'd say not going to draft a quarterback, but shit, you never sleep on these. They were like, I had a legit second round grade on him after the season. No agenda. I go in there not wanting to hate him, not wanting to like him, just. I don't know. We need a quarterback this year. That's not my mindset. Like, I think he's a second round player. And then after Texas game, I'm like, I think you're nuts. And then last night, he's like, what do you think now? And it was like, that's a good night for him. Because here's what I would say. Texas is a joke defensively, especially in the back end. Like, it's last night was NFL versus NFL. And honestly, the receivers looked okay. Like, they can kind of open. That was terrible, I thought, as someone with money on him and was being indifferent. Like, okay, let's settle down. You're allowed to have a rough couple series. I thought he would get it together, and he just never really got it together. Like, he had a good throw here and there, but it was never like, okay, now we're rolling. Am I crazy? I mean, I thought it was awful as it kept getting worse. And then here's the other thing. A big thing that they're going to say is like, listen, these injuries when he gets hit. Well, last night he's getting peppered, and it's happened at Oregon. He can barely get up.
His last two games, he got hit a lot, and he was in pain. He didn't get hurt. He didn't get knocked out of the game, but he was in pain. I think.
But didn't it happen in the game in Seattle against Oregon too? Like, same type deal. He's like, he's just getting. What happens when that's? I mean, the NFL guy for Michigan. What happens when that's Aaron Donald or Myles Garrett or something, and hits him good? That knocks NFL quarterbacks out. Like, he's. I don't think he's going in the top 10. And I think last night's a big reason why.
Yeah, look, my contention coming out of the Texas game, which was by most measures probably the best game of his career, right? He threw for almost 500 yards at like 70 of a 75% clip. He's a 65% passer. That's what he's been. Now, partly he does push the ball down the field. So it's like a legit 65%, right? He's not just checking it down. But I felt like he was a Like, you could do a lot worse in the 20s. That's where I was with him coming out of the Texas game. And I still feel that way. The counter to what you said is Texas, that Michigan defense is so far beyond what they've, like, that Michigan defense was excellent. That's the best team he's faced. You don't face the best defenses in whatever league you're in, week in and week out, right? Most quarterback stats are not built on the best defenses. They're built on everybody else. But to your point, like, well, they do have that level of defensive player. And the degree to which he's in pain a lot is a little bit alarming to me. That said, I do think he's pretty accurate down the field. I know a lot of those 50-50 balls are being thrown to excellent receivers, but I watched a lot of Michael Penix. I thought he put those balls still in excellent spots. I still think he's a really good, you know, pure passer. And so I think if you draft him at 26, 27, 28, like, I think it's a pretty good spot to draft him. And I also think let's just say he is a second rounder, like the guy you're talking to, you're still going to have a real shot to be a starting quarterback if you're drafted in the second round. Hell, you might be the starting quarterback in camp, right? So I don't look at him all that differently. He's had some bad games, didn't play well against ASU. He was sick in that game. But I got to acknowledge, like, Michigan is – that was a 15-0 net. That's the best team.
But see, if I was evaluating him, I don't even think I'd waste time on the ASU game. I would just watch all the big-time games.
Yeah.
For the last 2 years. The Oregon games, Utah's defense the last couple of years, Texas, Michigan. I mean, that's when it all mattered, when it's all – like, you're going to have bad games. Like, what does he look like when all the pressure's on? And obviously he's played well against Oregon. But the one thing you notice in that Oregon game in Seattle, like, I remember watching it, thinking, like, is he going to get knocked out of this game? Remember, there was, like, a couple not Brandon Marshall, but who was the quarterback from Marshall? Oh, Leftwich, where they had to, like, carry him. There were a couple moments where it kind of almost felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to argue for – because I think I got a little overexcited when I was thinking, like, why wouldn't this guy go in the top five? Because that's how he looked. And then you realize, well, Sark's defense sucks. That's a real defense. And he was clearly overwhelmed. I thought he was overwhelmed.
But I thought they were all overwhelmed. Yeah, the whole team was overwhelmed.
The O-line and him, I thought the receivers, like, they were okay. Like, it's hard to break
tackles. Yeah, McShay did a breakdown. I heard him on Russillo on that fourth down throw that he missed to Adunze. He kind of blamed Adunze running the wrong route. But
like, supposed to go out, not inside.
Yeah, like in that spot.
Okay.
But whatever.
Let's even throw that play away, because that's an easy one that might not be his fault. There were a lot of other ones when he's pressured. He made throws that when you're watching an NFL quarterback, you're like, this is a lot for him right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of those just like kind of lob it. And there was one where the D tackle was about to hit him and he freaked, which I get. I mean, I wouldn't want to, I'm not acting like I want to get hit, but like, why did Andrew Luck retire? Because he fucking stand right in there and throw Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, and they get crushed. But that guy would be hitting stride, and that'd be a first down. That's the highest level of football. Jim's quarterback stinks too, but like, his team was like, okay, Michael Penix, let's see. And Joe Moore Award, their old line got destroyed.
Well, you know who had the Joe Moore Award the last 2 years?
Would you see what
Michigan.
I think their star D tackle, the dude that won like the player of the game the previous week, said we should put the – he's like, I know what my guys do. Let's put the Joe Moore Award on the table this week.
Yeah, I know.
And it had a little like
– I think it mattered.
It had a little like the Houston Rockets think they could beat the Kevin Durant Warriors. Like, okay, motherfuckers, let's see. That's what Michigan kind of felt like.
Yeah.
Not in a disrespectful way, just like, we're better than you.
Even though Washington actually did better against the run after that first – like quarter and a half.
They started tackling pretty well. Their safety started flowing up. That their problem was like they couldn't get off the field. Their offense was, again, as someone that was
they missed every throw that they usually make, John. Every single one of them.
But I'd say they weren't even really a couple of them good plays by the DBs. A lot of them though weren't remotely close. I guess I didn't watch like the ASU Stanford games. Did he have these moments where he's airmailing people? This is why I'm just a media scout now, like not a real, like maybe he would tell you like, yeah, he fucking airmail some stuff. I mean, it's like, I don't do airmails. I remember Marcus Mariota. Everyone's like, he's the next Steve Young. It's like, well I've watched Marcus Mariota airmail a lot of people.
We talked to Neuheisel. He called him generational. I said, I'm watching Marcus Mariota. He's not generational.
But so Joe Klatt, so did all the people around college football, because what a scout's not supposed to do that they end up doing is he's clearly a good player.
But then you're around him, you're like, I love the kid. It's like you're letting his person.
He's considered like the greatest player in Oregon history, isn't he? Or one of them.
He won the Heisman. So yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like when I hear Oregon people talk, not like even former players, but just people around the program, like Mariota's considered like royalty there.
I mean, yeah.
Part
of it is he's built like a whole, I've got like his Heisman's in a thing and he's donated a lot of money. And
yeah.
But I think the thing with Penix is based more on his, like, people feel like he's a really good pocket. I feel like he's a really good pocket passer. I think that's where it stems from with him. But
the knock is,
does he move well?
How many great pockets are there in the NFL now?
Yeah.
Purdy's a good example. Purdy has to move. Like when Purdy's really successful, he is moving.
And the ball's got to come out fast.
And like, I get why you were texting me last night. You're like, they just got to hit some of these deep passes. I'm like, I just wanted to hit like a 10-yard pass. Michigan did it a couple times. Like you got thoroughbreds. Let them maybe, you know, hit a deep crossing route or something. Like, their problem watching last night in a tough spot, they do what they do, and it's a lot of go routes.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a lot of go routes. Now, that there was a moment in the game where they called the holding, which was debatable, where he hit the little lollipop pass for 50 yards, and it turned out to be like a 50-yard swing because it was a 40-yard game, but they got a 10-yard penalty, and that was kind of, they all kind of unraveled after that moment. Cause I was like, oh shit, it was 20-13. You're like, could they tie the game?
JJ McCarthy breaking off that like 30-yard run on third down at his own 9 was a pretty big play too.
Well, that would be a good example of like why I might bet on if I was a, you know, front office guy, I bet there are going to be teams that have JJ higher. Just there's more to mold there. Better athlete. Yeah. He can get bigger. He's tough, right? He's brushes his teeth. He thinks about winning the national championship. He's all in on the visualization.
Brushes his teeth with his non-dominant hand.
Because what was that reasoning again?
Rewire something, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game, and I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about Butcher Box for years. High-quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high-quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you the listener free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code ham to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code ham.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
By the way, John, you know, I do have to say this. As somebody who is pro-Sala, you're anti-Sala, if I'm going to oversimplify it. Do you see what happened with Breece Hall?
I saw a picture of Breece Hall on Instagram, and I just kept scrolling.
994 yards this year rushing. Sala said one of their mathematicians was wrong on the sideline. They thought he had 1,000 yards.
Was it incentive based or just pride based?
I would guess on a rookie deal, it's pride based, right?
Yeah.
You think rookie deals got 1,000 yard incentive in it?
In 2024,
I would doubt it. But it's a good question. I did not ask. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. But
in fairness, it'd be hard to do.
One of the mathematicians, they have multiple mathematicians with different responsibilities during the game. And one of them is John. You think the mathematician is just like, who is the mathematician? Is it really a
mathematician? Not on the, wouldn't you defend Saul? It's not on him to add it up.
Not on him. I'm just asking, do they really have a mathematician, or is it just a guy whose job during the week is assistant scouting, video, whatever, whatever, and on game day he's called a mathematician because he just logs Breece Hall's runs that day?
I can't imagine they ever have anyone tracking that type stuff. Right, like how many snaps this guy got so far if he's on a snap count. When are you ever snapping? Like, he's only allowed 4 catches and he already has, you know, it's like you when are you ever doing yards like that? It's kind of a unique thing.
It's just for that week.
Maybe the guy added it really quick and was off. Maybe like, could ESPN thing not have updated?
He's working off a slow game cast. I did not think of that. Yeah, it could have been logging it himself and missed a run. Just missed one run. Like the Niners, I don't know if you saw the, you know, they were double teaming Puka Nacua at the end of the first half, trying to make him come back out for the second half to get his rookie record, which is what happened.
Which is what you should do, right? Like Clay Thompson's going for 50 and a quarter. Like eventually, maybe at 25 points, you start throwing another guy on him. Isn't that like the NBA's thing always? Like any team that lets a guy go for like 50, 60, 70 is like have some pride, like no longer let him score.
Right.
Like I'm all for like not allowing you to attempt to get a record like that. Uh-huh. What's the point of playing out there to just let him like, oh yeah, just get your 75 yards on us and fucking go to the sideline, have some sunflower seeds with Stafford. Like what else are you getting excited for that week?
Surprised they didn't push past him. Just give him the easy one, you know?
Well, they did have this, I mean, the kind of classic, he's in the slot, he runs the kind of wheel go route that scores on a lot of people at a lot of levels, and it did score. That was actually a really nice pass from Wentz, thinking back.
From Wentz, yeah.
Tarveris is right on his shoulder, right? He's got to place it in his hands.
I think you said it after the game, right? Like, sometimes you just get beat. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Well, it's just a great pass, good route, good coverage.
What can you do?
Now that had to be one of Wentz's better passes of the day, didn't it? It was just a beautiful pass.
Maybe I'll do a Wentz's best passes video. I don't know. Adam Peters, John. I think he's got a Commanders interview.
Miami. I saw somewhere.
Miami? Well, him and Bob Myers are boys. So he's, you know, Bob. A lot of consultants in Washington helped him get a GM. Bob Myers is one of them. Is Spielman one of them? Rick?
Is it Rick? Rick's a good GM. I mean,
well, I saw Rex Ryan say, like, I don't know if you saw Rex. Rex is like, you know, I know who I would recommend if I were Rick. I'd be like, how about me?
I agree. I would hire Rick Spielman to be my GM. Like, the Raiders should interview Rick Spielman. Rick Spielman, those Vikings teams, we kind of made fun of them because, like, Cousins can't beat them. But remember, they won some playoff games. The reason they played the Niners in the second round is, I don't know, they just won a playoff game. Kendricks, Harrison Smith, Daniel Hunter, Stephon Diggs. I mean, Justin Jefferson. Remember, it was Spielman that celebrated when they took Jalen Reagor. Spielman, I mean, shit, he's a Kyle Shanahan coach away from maybe being viewed as like one of the better GMs in the league. He just got an old school defensive coach.
What's the Rick Spielman like,
would hire them both. I would, hey, Bob, Rick, you guys want to work together and run the organization? I'm dead serious.
I know. Did you say Raiders? Adam Peters, do you have a Raiders interview? I think I saw
a Raiders interview. Yeah.
Raiders interview. You know him a little bit. You think he's going anywhere?
I think there can't be a candidate non-Spielman, right? I think Spielman, if you just went, well, this guy's done it before, and he's really, like, he's been the head honcho and made the playoffs and hired a playoff-level coach and drafted Pro Bowlers at every position. Xavier Rhodes, another guy. Like, I mean, I'm talking every position. The dude has drafted a good player. And he signed Kirk Cousins when a lot of people thought this crazy. Like, I'd say that age better, right? Signing that guy as a free agent for a three-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Peters, his resume couldn't be any better for a guy that has not been a GM. Literally, it's impossible. Played at UCLA, so a Division I player. Looks the part, right, when you just see him standing there, which, yeah, I think does matter sometimes.
Quarterback vibes,
but he's a D lineman. Then he goes to the Patriots, like all those cats, right, starts as 22, 23-year-old. I remember texting him about Kwesi Messi or whatever that guy, who's the Minnesota's GM. I said, you know what's crazy? Is you went to UCLA, you start doing this. I remember when I started, and he probably had richer friends than me coming from UCLA, but I knew a decent amount of people I went to Cal Poly with that, like, by like 25, 26, they had a good year, we're getting close to like a couple $100,000. And that number dwarfed as time went on. And we were texting about Messi, like, he just graduated college, went to finance. Kwesi started making millions. I'm like, you were making $20,000 working 20 hours a day for Belichick. Now, you won a couple of Super Bowls, and you know, you were taking Belichick as coffee and running copies for, you know, Charlie Weiss, and fucking Vrabel needed a look at practice. You were standing there. You were doing everything. But now you guys are on the same, like, this guy's a GM. You know, it's kind of crazy. But he's, for Belichick, in their heyday early on, multiple Super Bowls with all those cats. Then Elway specifically hires him to go to Denver as the transition happens with Peyton Manning, and he was one of Elway's right-hand guys when they won another Super Bowl. So he's won Super Bowls with the Patriots, with the Broncos, and then John Lynch's first hire as a GM was like, I sat next to this guy in this meeting when John Elway used to let me in. I was like, I got to fucking have this guy. That's John Lynch's first hire. Not his teammate Martin Mayhew, who had been a GM. This guy blew me away in these meetings. Hired that fucking guy. And has been his right-hand guy ever since. They've won the division 3 out of the last 5 years. They've been at how many NFC championship games? And they're the betting favorite, even over the Ravens, to win the Super Bowl. So I was like, I just don't see how at like under 45, your resume, wouldn't you say it's borderline human, it's like football impossible to be better than that? Maybe if you had been perfectly timed, it just stayed with the Patriots the whole time. But you could argue that's, I'd rather have you go somewhere else and talk to other people than just clearly just stay under Bill, because how much information is Bill really giving you? Like, clearly Elway and John Lynch, you know, you don't have to ask Adam, like, how much truly, like, did Bill listen to you? You know for a fact, John Elway, who C.J. Anderson cried, remember, when he retired because of Adam, or tweeted Adam Peters, I owe it to him for bringing him in as an undrafted free agent, starting the Super Bowl. actually, I think started also for the Rams a couple years later when Todd Gurley got banged up late in the playoffs, like had a couple little runs. And then obviously John Lynch, what he means to that organization. I just think it's not possible to be in your early 40s and have a resume. You just can't get any better. You've worked in the NFL for 20 years, but it doesn't mean you've done anything.
The only thing that he hasn't done, and this is not a negative, I don't think, is been like the guy who gets articles written about him. Not a lot, right? Like, it felt like the Patriots guys all kind of – there was a stretch there where all those guys were getting articles written about him.
But, Guy, that's an agent/inside thing. Like, even me, when I text him, it's not like he's funneling me sweet information. Like, he's a close-to-the-vest kind of old-school guy. I think he's a Patriot at his core.
It's a positive, John. It's a positive. I'm just saying that's the only thing when you talk about, like, these blue-chip candidates. If you look at all the boxes – and I don't care about checking that box. Most don't. But that's the thing he hasn't done.
Owners like that.
And owners like it. And so my question is, like, clearly he gets a lot of interviews. And it feels like he turns down jobs that aren't perfect for him. And it feels like he has a pretty healthy say in this organization. I mean, we see him out at practice quite a bit. He seems to be pretty secure in his position there and valued. And the local nature of it. Kind of like Bob Myers, clearly appeals to him to a degree. The question is just how much, and is there a job out there that he would take? That is really the question with Adam Peters, John. Is there a job he would take?
If memory serves me correct, and again, you'd have to truly ask him because sometimes it's reported like, did he truly want the job or was he kind of half in the Carolina Panther job a couple years ago when they hired the dude from Seattle, Fitterer, who was just fired?
Yeah.
The final two were those two. And it felt like he wanted it at the time. Again, I don't know that for a fact, but the way it was reported, I never asked him about it, which you'd argue is the best thing that ever happened to him, avoiding that situation. So if he did want it, it's a good example, which I'm sure it's happened to all of us at some point in time in our life professionally, like thought we wanted something, maybe it didn't happen. And then you look back several years later, like, God, I thank God for that, which at the time you just don't know. And how could you blame? Like, David Tepper has all this money. You get to play a big role. You're thinking, like, even if Matt Rhule doesn't work out, I'll get to hire the next coach. There aren't it's coaching jobs become available way more often. Like, all of Shanahan guys, if he keeps having success, Slowick and you name them. Every name, Greasy, they'll all get head coaching opportunities. All of them over the next course of half decade. Every single one of them. McVay, too. And LaFleur now, the whole crew, the whole fucking lineage. The whole league will be full of them. There could be a given year. Would it shock you if, like, in 4 years, assuming Love's good, McVay plays us out a couple more years, Purdy maintains being a good player, so all those three teams are good, that there's a point in time where 13 guys have, like, direct ties to that Washington staff in 2012? You know?
No.
Like, almost half the league. And that's
Raheem. Raheem gets the – like, McVay's doing –
yeah, Raheem, Slowick, Greasy, and like one of Kubiak's kids. Like, all of a sudden, we're like, are there 12 Washington guys? Like, that's we're not very far away from that. But my point is, because coaching jobs every year, Schefter was on with McAfee, and I watched it. And even he's like, the reason I'm bet on eight people thought, like, you keep saying 7 to 10. Because he's like, historically, last year there were only five, and that's a low outlier. If you just average over the course of 2 years, it's usually close to 13 to 15 guys. So, listen, there's always a couple curveballs. We had one today that I'm just betting that way. And coaching, how often do GM – how many GM jobs are open right now? You'd argue a lot relative to normally. Usually there's like one a year. Chargers, Raiders, who am I missing? Carolina now. But it's weird. Like, are they truly open? Or are they – like, if they hire Jim Harbaugh or Bill Belichick, if he ever becomes available, like, is that really a GM job? You know, that's where it's weird. Like, a coaching job is a coaching job, right?
Falcons GM, right? Terry Fontenot, I guess, is not going to be on the coaching search or something weird like that. I saw that report, which would be a bad sign if that's the case.
Yeah, so easily he could be – okay. So Arthur Blank – because one of the rumors is he wants Belichick. So he hires Belichick. Is that truly like the GM was hired from scratch? No, Bill's like, hey, I kind of like this guy, bring him in type deal. So GM jobs, true GM jobs, honestly, they don't really even exist. Howie's probably, now that, you know, if we assume Belichick's going to go, like John Lynch is close, but like Kyle doesn't answer to John.
Willie
John Schneider doesn't answer to, or, you know, Pete doesn't answer to John Schneider.
McVay and Snead.
They're all really close.
Like, what about Pete? The Giants? I mean, the Cardinals. Gannon.
That's a good.
That's his guy. So no. Right.
I think Austin Furr was hired first, but that's one that's like doesn't even matter. I'm talking the good ones.
Oh, John Harbaugh.
I would say they're probably because he's DeCosta's been there so long. It doesn't just get back to like one guy makes $15 million, the other makes $5 million. Who has more juice? Until they don't.
Yeah, I mean, how many GMs make more than their coach?
Not one, probably. maybe you know, if Howie makes $8 million and Sirianni makes $7 million type deal.
Yeah, that would be one.
I mean, John might make $10 million, but Kyle makes $16 million.
Right.
One of those.
Right.
I mean, there's a chance John Lynch is the highest paid GM in the league. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
you can tell me less
meeting with Amazon just because he didn't feel like it or because he didn't want to. And all right, we can give you a raise or you have a raise that makes it comparable.
I'm not trying to pocket watch, but if you told me that Adam Peters, and again, we don't have a relationship where I ask him how much money he makes.
Pocket watch.
I wouldn't ask really anybody that besides like some of the people that I legitimately work with and call like really close friends. If you told me he makes $2 million, right? And I think the average person in his job, depending on the part, you know, obviously cost of living factors a little for the Niners where like Nashville, you'd have to pay a little less for the Raiders. From what I found, the number two usually makes somewhere between, depending on how long you've been the number two or whatever, but in 2024 is like $700,000 to $900,000. Like it's a really good job, right? You know, it's like the version of like they're a DC, like Vic Fangio makes like $5 million, but coaches make more, but it's like that. I mean, there aren't many non-GMs in the league, you know, that are making $1 million. Honestly, there might be less than five because there are some. And I would imagine Adam Peters is one of those guys, wouldn't you?
Yeah, especially once, like, didn't John got, like, a bump in – Lynch got a bump in title, so then assistant GM, he was, like, president of football ops plus GM. So there was – I mean –
And a lot of these guys left, kind of, right?
Yeah.
You know?
That's
true. They lost – I mean, Ran and Mayhew for the first, you know, half of their tenure were playing pretty big roles, right? Under Adam, technically, but still, like, I mean, you just like Adam's like, I'll just do what they, you know, all
yeah, I felt like the head table was pretty crowded in like a good way, like they had a crew at the head table,
yeah.
John, Saturday, we were guessing the other day, Browns Texans got the NBC game, Dolphins Chiefs got the Saturday evening, 5 o'clock Pacific Peacock game. I haven't gotten Peacock yet. I'll get it. It'll be $5 or it'll have a week long free trial or whatever. I always laugh at like $5 for Dolphins Chiefs, right? NFL playoff games. If that game was on NBC, how many people would watch it? 20 million at least. Right.
I mean, you might be low. Saturday's not an ideal night.
Well, like last week, the Saturday game, the Colts game did 19 million. So yeah, this game would probably do more than that, right?
Yeah.
25 million if it was just on NBC Saturday night.
And you'd argue the Texans Colts brand wise relative to even say what you want about the Dolphins, they sneaky are a bigger brand than you realize.
Yeah.
Like, I know a bunch of Dolphins, and obviously the Chiefs are one of the key stakeholders in the league.
That's right. They're a key stakeholder. So that's the way they talk. When it comes to the stakeholders, like money makers, stakeholders, and
the irony is they get the same as you know, the Panthers.
Yeah, I know. But the point I'm making is $5. If I told you there was a sporting event that 25 million people were going to watch, you'd be like, "Oh, it's a pay per view. What's it going to cost me? $50 to watch that game tonight? Right? To watch that fight? Like, if you think of it in pay per view terms, I don't know. We should look up how many like a big Mayweather Pacquiao fight. How many people watch those?
I don't know either.
And it's hard because you probably get an estimated, this 2015, an estimated 4.4 million people paid a record price of $90 to $100 to watch the fight, generating blah blah blah. This is Pacquiao Mayweather shatters pay-per-view records. Okay, so $90, 4 million people watched. But people pay $90. So paying $5 to watch a football game, and actually one day, to your point, there'll be three football games a week or whatever on that streamer, is really, it's nothing when you think about what people are willing to pay for a pay-per-view. And I think people will find that, I'll be interested to see what that number is. I don't know if they ever released like a number for their Peacock game a few weeks ago, but.
Was there a Peacock game? Oh, yeah, it was the Bills.
Whatever game that was. It was the Saturday night.
It was Bills Chargers, I think.
Sunday, Steelers Bills is your morning game on CBS. Then you got Packers Cowboys 1:30 on Fox. That's called right in the wheelhouse. Rams Lions on Saturday night. And then Eagles Bucks on Monday, which is relevant for the 49ers, depending on how things work out. You know, if the higher seeds...
7 million people, Bills Chargers.
Okay, which remember last year, the initial Amazon numbers were like 9 million, right? Were the Thursday night?
Yeah. And I would say more, people, just based on the company, would have access to Amazon Prime Video.
What's true.
Peacock. Like we have Peacock. Amazon. I think Maria watches Below Deck.
I saw somebody say Peacock, I don't have it, as a streamer, actually has a lot of good content.
Yeah, Maria, I mean, she's always watching it.
Which makes sense. It's got the NBC library.
It's got a lot of, like, I think, reality show that are ones that are pretty popular.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I think the number is over. I think it's like 70 million people have Amazon Prime Video access. Now, not everybody watches it, but it's like 50 million people watch it or have used their Amazon Prime Video. There's no way that's the number for Peacock yet, but what's the fastest way to get people interested in your streamer? Football games, because it's the most popular television show.
Is it shocking at all that they gave them an incredible team when NBC is it's their number one partner, right? If you just factor in, it's the number one television show. So the number one place that is the biggest marquee game goes, NBC is not going to be around forever. As crazy as that sounds, right? In its current construction.
The way we broadcast television channel,
the way we watched it forever. It's just so you got to pivot and you got to pivot. Ideally, you know, they're going to do it slowly, but I completely understand it. I mean, when do you think the first Super Bowl is streamed? 20 years?
That's a good question. 10 years feels too soon, but 20 feels too far out.
Someone said, though, I was arguing with someone about something in regards to technology. It wasn't necessarily like flying cars, but he's like, I think you underestimate how fast things happen. Like 100 years ago, people were taking fucking carriage and buggy. Like things accelerate. Think about just the electric car, how that's accelerated. Think about streaming, how that's accelerated in the last 5 years. Think about how normal YouTube TV is. And when you go into people's homes, Hulu Live, how quickly that I just think things accelerate now at such rapid space because there's already the infrastructure there. If I was a betting man right now, I think this deal is till 2033, so it's kind of set. Now things can change. What if one of these wants it that way? I would say under 12 years.
Yeah, the beginning of the next television deal.
2024, which I would say in the middle of the next decade, it's definitely on the table. I mean, the guy, there's a chance at the end of the decade, like cable, there is no, these things don't exist. That's the other thing. Like you can't, like my children, there's a decent chance won't ever understand what a radio is. Still exists in my car right now. But if you tell me in 10 years, I guess if they were, you know, 5 years, if, you know, have one, a couple, you know, math depends on, but like, you just would never know what certain things are. Where can you imagine like us as a kid, like the radio was a huge part of everyone's life. It was a major part of every human being's life, regardless what you liked. We didn't, you know, whether you like politics, whether you like fucking sports, whether you like music, every human being in 25 years ago, listened to the radio when they got in the car, every single one. There was not a human being that got in the car and the radio was not. Now, it was on different shit, but it was on.
There's just no chance. I didn't think that exists in 15 years. So to me, the streaming is, I just think these networks might be done.
Well, what is the streaming really? It's just the same it's just the same product on the internet.
Well, exactly. Like podcast. We're all just, okay, we're listening to music through. Yeah, it's just, that's what I'm saying. But it just shows you the distribution channel changed immediately. Like if you want to read something
the
now.
The distribution channel changed, but for the consumer, I'm just going to put it on my television still, right?
100%. It actually, 15 years might be strong. Like, is it really that crazy?
It's just
like,
what are we really talking about? It's just a matter of when do they need it to happen? The thing about football, like you still see it, you see the differences in ratings when you go ABC versus ESPN. The broadcast channels still outrate the cable channels.
But a huge reason for that is there is a large percentage of people that are, you know, correct, still that are 60 to 75 years correct old. I mean, the baby boomers, right, why they keep saying the largest generational transfer of wealth will happen over the next 10 years. Like, yeah, they're still alive.
Yeah, correct. So right, event, but
they,
but, I mean,
they watch football.
It's a straight line. Like we're all here watching exactly what's happening.
Yeah. They're just less likely to pivot. You know, my mom has to be told. And once she is, all she does is watch Netflix. But if I wouldn't have told her about it, or maybe someone, she might never have known about it, like not living on, just kind of living a different life, right?
Right.
As a human that like goes to work every day, like she's retired. Like you're not in the hustle.
On the radio, they're not talking about tonight's games on Peacock.
Exactly.
You watch McAfee, he's talking about it. Or yeah, whoever. Haberman and McAfee.
I notice this on YouTube TV. Like one of my things is for our entire life, especially like, I guess when I was a kid and you were a kid, like I didn't have cable in my house. You didn't have cable in your house. So we even lived in a point in time where there wasn't even cable. So that cable run actually to me is going to be much shorter lived. Like it was 20 years. It was like probably when I was 18 to a couple years ago, like less than 20 years really. But you would just stumble upon, you're like, oh, Con Air's on. Oh, Terminator's on. Oh, Shawshank's on.
8 Mile, Must Stop.
Do you notice during, exactly, if you want a funny movie, old, whatever, you Dumb and Dumber, you just, Happy Gilmore. Do you ever have that happen to you on YouTube TV? It's like impossible because you don't search that way.
Because like if there's nothing on and I'm doing something and I'll just go guide. Like, oh, there's.
I agree, but it's way more rare to do that than it was an automatic 15 years ago.
No question. Like, oh, what's sometimes I'll just go YouTube and just click on whatever it throws, like not YouTube TV, YouTube. Just whatever it throws at me, I'll just click on, right?
But I'm talking specifically about the movie, you know, the like the rewatch of the movie.
Yeah, if you did not, I think what you're saying, if you did not grow up using the guide, then you will never, like that generation
FX,
of people,
good example,
will never stumble into anything.
Well, it's why,
unless you, that the algorithm doesn't suggest to them.
Well, do you know that, I didn't know this, but Maria was telling me about this one person that's like fighting the fight about how reality television stars are getting fucked. Like, right, a huge part of like Jerry's wealth is on the reruns of Seinfeld, right? Oh. Or Friends or those people, right? Yeah. It's just the reruns forever.
I was like, which Jerry?
Jerry Seinfeld. And that one, a huge part of the writer's strike, at least in, to my knowledge, kind of loosely following it, was a lot of people were like, well, Netflix, all these people won't give us any information. So you take the content, sell it to them, and we get no cut of it. Like, fuck right, this.
Right.
Well, no, think about a huge part of this. One, it's not just the residuals, but think of what a lot of stuff is like. A lot of reality stars in their contracts never, because you didn't even think about it, but it's just treated like a television show. Got royally screwed. I mean, because some of these housewives,
they didn't
shows,
get
not that I watch. No, they don't get anything.
No.
So I think this really just kind of upended the world because I thought it was kind of overwhelming. And now I think when people complain, I'm like, listen, as someone that can't complain about stuff as well as anybody, it's pretty seamless.
Yeah, I'll go back to what I said at the beginning. It is, we're just at a time of, it's a tumultuous change.
It's not as crazy like it now than it was even 3 years ago, though. I would say it gets more normalized by the day, well, of just like this is not.
And your internet gets faster, or so that becomes less of a friction point or whatever. But I also think about going over to somebody's house 20 years ago, and you like pick up the remote and be like, what the fuck? I don't, how do I turn your television on? They'd be like, oh, we got DirecTV. Hit that, hit that, hit that. Where are your channel? It's not like it was always easy. Like everybody had the same thing. And no one will, it won't always be that everyone has the same thing. I made the switch to Apple TV. And then I went, where was I? I was at somebody's house. Oh, I was at my neighbor's house the other day. And they have like, you got to turn on this remote and then use that remote to get to the YouTube or whatever.
Is Apple TV an actual TV or is it the box like Roku?
It's just the box with the remote. And now I can control it with my phone. I can, yeah. It's just the remote has like four buttons on it. It's it. Like it is so simple.
And then it brings you to the apps.
And right? It takes me to the apps, right?
So your Apple TV is my Roku.
Exactly. Same thing. But if somebody walked in with Kate with an Xfinity, all they'd learn was an Xfinity remote, they'd be like, what the fuck? The future sucks. And I'd be like, well, in 2005, if I walked into your house and you had DirecTV and I had cable, I would not have known what to do or where my channels were. So it's really, it's not that different.
Well, when we went home for Christmas, her friend basically stayed over here with the dog and her mom flew in here. I had to take a video of the hard remote to kind of explain, like, you got to go to Roku and then you got to go over to the app live TV. And then YouTube TV is the TV, but then, you know, just click on Netflix. You can watch anything there, obviously, but you kind of got to scroll this way. And then to get back, you got to hit back. For me, I don't even think about it, but if you just showed up in my house, you probably would struggle getting to the television. It'd be complicated. But once you did it a couple times, it would be very easy.
I remember my grandparents' TV was just you pop it on and then you just turn the dial to the channel you want.
My grandma had that. I think we might have
rabbit ears for nine innings, but
I think we might even had that when I was really young at my house, probably late 80s. We definitely had some rabbit ears early mid 90s Sacramento Kings channel 31 because I remember 31 was always gave you problems.
They all gave you problems. Super few super chats here. This is from Keith. Are you more worried about Brock or Moody? Not worried about Brock at all, personally. Are you worried about Brock?
No. I mean, until I am. Not
right.
I wasn't worried about Penix, and then about seven throws, I'm like, I got a problem on my hands. the thing in football, you saw it last night with Penix, this ain't a seven-game series. There's no going to the bullpen. Right. It's just – and you could see it on the Washington coach's face. Like, this is what it is. Like,
well, one thing I thought about early in the game, like before the game kicked off, was just Michigan's been in the college. These players have been in the college football playoff the last 2 years. This is their third year playing in the college football playoff game, right? Like, they have been in this environment before. And I thought Washington offense and defense came out just a little, not rattled, but just not quite as ready as Michigan was. Matthew, super chat, what happened? Jimmy can't win the big one. And Penix will shred that defense. Welcome to the Big Ten. We play defense in this conference. Go blue. Yeah, I was a Jimmy can't win the big one guy. I was happy for him, though. I got to admit, like, Jim Harbaugh's success makes him a bigger star, which is good for sports. Were you, somebody said earlier, John, I got to say you were wrong about Harbaugh. That was definitely my take. Did you feel that way too?
I mean, I was hoping that he would blow the game, right, but it's right. Just,
I've said for years, that's been my take for years. So I had no problem eating that one, though.
Well, it's like if you're a really good golfer, you're probably inevitably going to hit a hole-in-one if you play a lot of golf. Like, if you're a really good coach.
But will Tony Finau win?
A major? You know?
The Farmers?
Yeah, he's won several times. Yeah, because he had a stretch a couple of years ago where he won a couple turns in a row. But, like, that's a good example. Just, like, who's a guy who's never won a major? Most of the top players have right now, but like there's a chance Rory McIlroy just might never win the Masters. He might play 15 more when he just never win. In football, there's a chance you never win a big, you know, never win the championship. Marv Levy, Dan Marino, it can happen. Yeah. I would say for the most part in the sport of football and in basketball, if you are elite at your job and he's proven to be pretty freaking elite, you coach long enough, you're going to win it. Andy was in the same spot. Kyle's now in that spot. Sometimes, like, Sean McVay doesn't even have to bother. He might never win another one. Think about that. Might never. McCarthy, probably never going to win another one. But do you know what he can always say if you ever want to talk shit about him? You want to check out my fucking ring? You know? That's what he can always say that. And he just wanted earlier, like, was he a better coach 5 years ago than Andy Reid? Like, looking back, like, what were we talking about? He could, he got this, and
yeah,
people just, and Harbaugh was, especially, I would say these last couple of years, he started kicking Ryan Day's ass. You're like, I think he's kind of taking it up a level. Last, the TCU game was tough.
The TCU hurt, and then they got smacked by Georgia. You know, I think that, like, as it relates to Kyle Shanahan, it's hard. There is not a scenario where they can lose the NFC Championship game this year, the 49ers, and you go, all right, good run, good year, get them next year. It's not going to feel that way because he hasn't won one. You zoom out, and he's been three NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl appearance. You go, that's a pretty good resume. That's a pretty good football reference page, pretty good wiki. If he had a championship, you'd be like, God, a championship plus he's in the NFC Championship almost every year. It would feel completely different, right? But until he wins that championship, you don't really get a ton of credit for one seeds going to the NFC Championship game and not going to the Super Bowl. You get the Super Bowl, that's where McVay is. If McVay went to the NFC Championship game this year, if you held Coach of the Year voting till after the season, he'd win it. He might win it if he just beat the Lions.
I think he beats the Lions. You could argue it's like its second best season of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, hell of a year. Which, by the way,
what if he just beats the Lions and gives the Niners a game? Like, what a year from the Rams.
That's the last team the Niners want to play in the NFC first round, I think. Packers, Rams, or Eagles? Rams would be the last team I want to see. Best coach, best quarterback combo.
People are either overvaluing the Rams or like they're legitimately hot and they're going to beat the Lions by like 15. I don't know.
If the Lions win and the Cowboys win, you're getting the Eagles on a short week. That's a good advantage.
I want to just say,
yes,
I do think there's a point that the Eagles have hit that you just, they're not a lock to, I don't care who they're playing. Like, it is conceivable that they, and especially Monday night, couldn't you see it? Like
in Tampa, what,
this,
like what?
This game's really 13-13 early in the third quarter. Like, is this? They don't really blow anybody out, so I do think it's on the table that they lose, which would be huge for the Niners if Detroit and Dallas both win. You get Tampa. Like, that's just, yeah, it's impossible. Like, JJ McCarthy closes his eyes and he pictured the rose in his mouth. It's possible to close your eyes to see McVay and the Rams having some crazy upset. And everyone's like, they're the hottest team coming into the playoffs since like some of those Eli Giants teams. Like, this team might win it all.
You look up and it's just 10-0 at the beginning of the second quarter.
Yeah. And that conversation going into that week, like, if this team beats the 49ers, are they going to win the Super Bowl? That'd be like a conversation.
Yeah.
Where I just think if you close your eyes and envision Tampa, okay, I just don't think there's any scenario where they beat them. I think you could win with the third string quarterback. You could beat him. I swear to God.
Brandon Allen?
If you told me $1,000, Niners, first round playoff game, at home, Brandon Allen starts, everyone else healthy, Tampa, I envision the Niners winning.
Yeah.
It might not be easy. I mean, it could be a sweat, but
be a good game, actually. If they end up with Tampa, they should do it just for entertainment value.
I think Sam Darnold could beat the Eagles. But I do not think any of that stuff with the Rams. Obviously, we just saw the Rams. Sam Darnold couldn't beat Wentz.
I think he could have, John. He didn't get his starters. Neither did Wentz. I think the way I like to look at it is what A, B, C, like what level game do you have to play to win? And your B minus game beats the Bucks. You better play your A game if you're going to beat the Rams.
Yeah. Definitely A minus. I don't think you can play like a B minus game and win.
I guess let me add one layer to it. What level game do you have to play to beat their A game? Right. If the Rams play their A game, you got to play your A game and you win. But you got to play your A game.
I would say B plus A minus because you still are better top to bottom.
Stafford's A game is terrifying.
He's elite. He can play toe to toe with any quarterback. So, he also can turn the ball over like three times.
He can. That's true.
I don't even really want to see the Eagles anymore. Kind of tired of them.
I like a Sirianni sideline game, John.
Do you want to see the Eagles?
Eagles Niners?
I'm kind of over them.
I think Lions Niners would be like, I'd be up for that just because I don't get, just like I was for Michigan, Washington. Like, I don't get to watch. Like, this is new. Give me something a little fresh.
I'm just saying, who is the coolest matchup in the second round or their first game?
I mean, I think the Lions is pretty cool.
But how do they play the Lions?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying of the Eagles, the Rams.
Or
the
I'm saying of all the teams that they can play in the next round, right? They can't play the Cowboys.
Packers, Rams, or Eagles, Bucks.
Yeah, basically starts with the Bucks and down.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, the Rams are not the freshest of them, but that is just the best game.
I think the Eagles have lost a lot of luster, especially if they win a game against the Bucks, like 17-9 or something. Well, I'm just tired. I know it'll feel cool.
What if they don't? What if they win that game 31-10? Okay. Eagles back, like kind of, did they find it?
Maybe gain, because the Cowboys gained a little momentum. Remember last year when Dak threw like 7 touchdowns against Brady? Like, okay, they got a little juice coming in.
Yeah. Gammon says on the stream, a chat, super chat, John, I heard through the grapevine that you bump City Girls. What's your favorite anthem by them, and what led you to being a huge fan?
City Girls. I don't know. Is that a hip-hop duo, City Girls?
What is your favorite anthem? No Bars,
Good Love, Rodeo. Take Yo Man, Act Up. See, this looks like this is just out of my. Are they R&B or are they rappers? Is an American duo consisting of Young Miami and JT the Duo, originates from Miami, Florida, and garnered attention after their guest performances on Drake's chart topping 2018 single, In My Feelings.
Would you say that's your favorite anthem?
Do you know what's crazy is I take a lot of pride on being pretty locked in on music because I don't pay for ad-free Pandora. So if I'm listening to any station, it does just funnel you some newer shit if you're listening to more contemporary music. So I feel like, I've heard that song or I've heard them. Have no fucking clue. And that makes me feel old. I hate, like, who?
I know. I never want to say, like, this music sucks just because it's new and I don't know it. But,
and I think it's impossible for people to claim like, I really like music and be like, well, I don't do country or rap. It's like, well then no, you just,
what if you said I don't do modern pop? Would that be acceptable? Feels like that's the one that like the music people are like, that's not even fucking like country music. Those are written song, rap music. Like somebody wrote something.
But my point is if you can, it's one thing to say you don't do it, but if I give it to you and you're like, God, this person's pretty talented. Like, if you can't see that, then I think you have poor musical taste. Like, I can listen to any genre of music, and in my opinion, just be like, oh, this guy's pretty good, or oh, that's not bad. But even if I don't like it, I'd be like, I could see the talent.
I get it. Yeah, you can't get it.
I can't stand people. It happens a lot with country music. I don't like country music. I get it in theory if you just kind of heard, but if like you could listen to something specific and be like, God, Chris Stapleton can sing.
I watched a YouTube the other day that was a guy. He's like, I'm not a big country guy, but I'm just going to go. He was a musician. He's like, I'm going to go through the top 10 songs on the country Billboard chart right now and just give you my thoughts. And he liked all, he's like, this is all well-written, well-produced, complicated, interesting music.
I think it happens a lot with city white rock guy who says he hates country music. And I think there were people that are like, I hate, you know, hip hop or rap. It's like, then you're just not very open-minded musically. I've always had a pet peeve against that guy. Yeah. Like claims he likes music, but then hates certain genres. Like, I don't like classical music, but I can listen to it and be like, oh, I could see it, I guess.
Matthew says, not asking if you think it'll happen, but if the Eagles lose to the Bucs, should Sirianni be fired? I say yes. You? He can't fix their. He has not shown an ability to do anything to help fix their problems.
And they get Belichick and Philly.
With those two, I mean, yeah, but
I do think a ton of people would want Philly.
I think
they invest heavily. They try hard. It's a crazy place, but it's like working for like the Yankees or like the Phillies or something. Like, this can get weird, but no one ever argues like, any coach I want, they cut me a check. Any player will do. We'll make trades. Like, they are one of the most aggressive teams in all of sports, I would say.
The irony sometimes is that the best combinations don't work, right? Like, Belichick not drafting, letting Howie Roseman put his roster together, or at least help him put his roster together, and just coaching football, it would be a that'd be an all-star tandem, right? But like, could it work? Would it work? Could they work together? You know, that's why like I watched Jerry Jones say, Mike McCarthy, he's coming. Like, look at his look what he's done. The proof's in the pudding. I'm like, I'm watching him going, thank God he doesn't want to hire Jim Harbaugh, because that team would be in the NFC Championship game every year for the next 3 years if he hired Jim Harbaugh tomorrow. Right? I mean, it's just Jim wins everywhere, John, at an extreme level.
Yeah. You got Jim Harbaugh.
But he doesn't want to do it. He's not, they have not hit rock bottom. The only people that hire Jim are people at rock bottom. The Niners were at rock bottom. Michigan, I mean, Michigan would hire Jim at any point, but they did it at rock bottom. The Raiders feel like the Chargers.
And the Cowboys, is impossible for them to hit rock bottom. They're too talented.
They're not at rock bottom. They're not desperate enough.
I think the Cowboys are somewhat of a sleeper coming into this playoffs.
To do
I would say if they win their next two games, whoever they play, they're going to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
The Packers have a lot of momentum coming in. They kick their ass. Then they play Detroit at home, handle them again. I think they're going to have a lot of confidence coming in. This is get back to the bye is really good because it's good for your body. But there is a risk, and it's happened historically, of like you just can kind of lose what's been working for you.
Yeah.
You know, now the Niners punted on the last game. So, you know, it's not like you could make the argument if they had to play this weekend. It's like, well, they just didn't try last weekend. So like, but some of their players at least sweated and stuff. I mean, they're not doing like they're practicing right now, but
not Tuesday, but
You know what I mean. It's not the same of like when everyone shows up tomorrow at these other. How many teams are there? 12 teams. It's a pretty fucking big week. Like we lose, we're done, right? You're just a little more locked in this week. Like it's a big fucking deal.
The Cowboys always look that way.
I'm not blaming. I mean, the Niners and Ravens. You would always take the one seed. I'm just saying there is. It's just football. It's weird. I mean, baseball, you see it a lot, right? The team just gets a little off. The other teams have just been playing.
All the time in baseball, yeah.
It'd be football's a little different because there's always a gap.
If you see it in college football next year, I've always thought, I said this the other day, there's always like in the NCAA tournament, one of those teams that gets into Dayton, one of them, it always feels like one of them makes a run just because they're kind of, their juices are flowing. They're ready to roll. But this is Dallas. Like people think I'm a Dallas hater. I respect them like to a point. I just don't think they're a Super Bowl franchise right now with McCarthy and Dak. But they always feel like, could they put this thing together? Because on they're like good defense, skill guys on offense. Not really a run game, but McCarthy's coached a lot of big games. Dak's having a career MVP candidate. Like that's a Super Bowl contender on paper.
Yeah,
I just don't trust him in the biggest games. But I didn't trust Jim, and he just won a Super Bowl. So.
Well, here's what I know. It's just never the playoffs. I would say in most sports, definitely baseball and football, it's never just the two best teams. It's just cruise control. It's rare. Let me rephrase that. It's rarely just that easy. Oh, the Ravens and Niners, boom. So who are, to me, there's only like even a couple options, right? Like the Eagles to me are not an option. The Rams maybe. Rams would be someone you'd keep an eye on. Dallas clearly is. The Bills, but fuck, they're kind of banged up. The Chiefs, they can't catch the football. I mean, you would say if you were just power ranking the playoffs, obviously, you know, I know the Niners are the favorite, but we saw the two teams play. Ravens beat them. I would put Ravens 1A, Niners 1B. Who's 2? Because Dallas would be in the argument for
it. Yeah, I think it's Dallas or Kansas City.
Because the only thing you argue on Kansas City is like, they're going to be a motherfucker to knock out this championship blood, championship culture. You're like, yeah, but I've watched them play. Like, I know. They can't catch.
I know. Well, but you'd also
and look at their old line sneaky is bad, you know? So it's like, yeah, you're betting on Andy and Mahomes. Well, Brady, Belichick, Walsh, Montana, like they lost sometimes in the second round.
Yeah. But they're good defense.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if I told you that they lose in the second round of the Buffalo Bills, it's not great in Buffalo. They're going to be the underdog in that game.
But then, but that would be.
A lot of people are probably going to bet Kansas City.
What's that?
I would imagine Kansas City is like a +4 on the road in Buffalo. Like a lot of people are hammering the Chiefs.
think they'd be plus four in Buffalo?
Well, what's the number?
2.5.
You may be right. Four is a little high. Depends they, how they will. What if Buffalo
have just beaten the Steelers?
Yeah, what if Buffalo wins 35-10 and they beat Miami? I mean, let's face it, most of their games look the same. 17-12 in freezing cold. The books won't want to give a lot of points to Kansas City, so maybe the number's just 3 or something. It's not going to be 7, but it's not going to be probably 1, right? I don't know.
I feel like it'll be less than 3 is my guess.
To me, it's hard for the Chiefs to look good given the way they play, and it's going to be 0 degrees. So it's probably just going to be an ugly game that they know how to win that Miami doesn't.
Yeah, Miami going on the road screwed them. Kevin, avid listener, Sonic employee here arriving late. Wish we could have gotten fiber to you, guy. Sonic isn't using AT&T fiber anymore. Oh, well, there you go. Supposed to have very good customer outreach, customer service.
I don't even, who's Sonic?
It's fiber. It's an internet provider, Bay Area. Hey, Roman, I saw you getting out of your car yesterday. If you asked me 5 seconds, gun to your head, where were you yesterday? I'd be like, fuck, 5, 4, 3, 2. Squat rack? I don't know where you saw me.
And you couldn't, and we could, so we could scrap and you put your head down and acted like you didn't see me.
Monday night, Eagles, Bucks. There you go. Somebody on a short week, maybe. Get Eric Armstead back to get Juwan Jennings back.
Wait, they did?
No, I'm just saying they got to get, like, Juwan Jennings had concussion protocol been going for like a month now. Kind of weird.
Yeah, that's clearly something's off.
All right. On that note,
which often in a bad way, like you can't clear, like you're probably, I'm not counting on him this season. Like when something, it's that one's usually black and white. Maybe you miss a week and then you clearly clear it. No one acts like, no one even brings it up anymore.
No. Purdy was in the concussion protocol for 48 hours.
There was a player, remember Tua? Did they just scrapped him for like 5 weeks last year? Remember he had like the back to back games?
And where people wanted him to retire.
Yeah. Other people love telling you what to do. Not you personally, but just in general. That's a social media thrives on someone telling someone else what they should do.
Nathan said Armstead's practicing Juwan cleared concussion protocol per Kyle. Okay. Clear. All right. Kyle must have said that yesterday. His press count is his phoner.
We just got to hope Armstead is like not Dylan Johnson, where it's like first play, he's like already in the medical tent, which not surprising. The guy's playing like, now he ended up playing throughout the game.
But that was bad.
Is Eric Armstead going to the medical tent in playoff game number one?
Has he ever? I don't feel like he ever goes to the medical tent. Just like Armstead's out. I think he finishes games.
Yeah, you're right.
And then later
I'm not trying to question his toughness. My point was just, yeah, you're right. You're right. Good. Greenlaw.
Tent.
Charvarius, a tent guy. Armstead plays, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we don't know, man. He's just going to be day-to-day, a.k.a. week-to-week, a.k.a. probably going to miss a month. But you're like, wait, he just played 54 snaps.
Yeah, what's he got? Plantar fasciitis for the last 3 years. Oh, shit.
Yeah, knees doesn't work. But, yeah, we'll just see if we can get him some ice baths and sauna him.
Jair Brown back. All right. All right. Anything else?
I'm missing Funga.
Yeah.
Not even necessarily like his name, but just saying his name out loud when he made a play.
Just seeing him. I know. It just feels, we could debate. Some people think Jair Brown's been better, but it's just seeing Hufanga run around.
Who said that?
I don't remember. I really don't. But I think that take exists. Like, could he just be a better version?
Hufanga was an all pro last year.
All pro bowler.
All pro. Second team all pro safety.
Yeah.
No, he's got some flaws and
stuff. You feel like you're watching John Lynch, though.
No, I didn't feel. Yeah. I mean, it was inflated. It was more cool to be like, oh, they get sixth rounder all pro. It was more one of those where you're like, fans comparing him to Cam Chancellor.
Right. You can only win it in the year you win it. That's it. I mean, it doesn't, nobody ever says, oh, but there weren't good safeties there. Nobody was good in the NFC that year. You win the Super Bowl. Pretty special. I mean, one of the best players on one of the best defenses in the league.
He'd be one of those guys that Debo would be like, yeah, he can't cover me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing. I'll end on this. If the Eagles, like, I do get exhausted with a little, like, if it's true, but the way it's like, it just fucking have a real game. You know, no, like, these motherfuckers suck. And then it's like, oh, this is, it felt like it jumped the shark a little bit. And then it's just over, but it feels like it would get rehashed. And I just find that.
You feel like it jumped the shark after the Dom DeSandro or before the Dom?
Yeah, there's just everything involved in it. You know, it's like, I'm over Philly and everything they brought to the table with the Niners. Like, I think
I'm not over Philly as I want them on my TV playing the Bucs or something. Like, I just, Sirianni, I can't get enough of.
Again, if you tell me like Micah Parsons wants to say something, someone on the Cowboys, yeah. Even if one of the doesn't, I don't even feel like any of the Lions talks. That's a bad example. But even if like you're playing the Bucs and Mike Evans, like, I plan on going for fucking 10 for 150. These guys can't cover me. Or just something. I'd be like, okay, something new. I just don't want to hear about James Bradbury anymore. Like, he stinks.
It's not exactly like Revis versus.
No.
Who did Revis beat with? Oh, it was like Revis and Sherman. They weren't even like receiver. Yeah. Corner combo,
and they were arguing with Skip. Remember who was the best corner? Now Sherman's his partner.
All right, first team All Pro. Somebody said,
you know, might as well be Ronnie Lott.
All right. On that note, nothing else.
No.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging. Later.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.